Genesis 19. You know, as you consider the Bible, look at all those you know from the Scripture. Who is the outside, besides Jesus, who would you say is the most outstanding person in your mind, because it is subjective, in the Bible? Who would that be? Who? Moses? Joseph? Abraham? Mary? David? Paul? John? Okay, Jesus? We say? I heard something else somewhere. Isaac? Can you imagine walking, and again, Jesus, of course, without shining them all, but can you imagine living in that time with them? We look at a man today named Lot. Now, and I know most of us are familiar with what happened in his life. But can you imagine living with Abraham? Think about it, right, Bobby, right? You live with Abraham. Father Abraham. Here's the thing that I notice, and I see it in Lot's life. Lot did not appreciate the caliber of the man his uncle Abraham was. Isn't that true? We walk among people in our lives, and we've got a great church. And when I sit back and think about the people in our church, those who are here and those who have graduated to heaven, I'm in awe of who you are, your character, your integrity, your faith, your love, who you are. People just don't appreciate so much when they are walking beside someone who they are. We just, you know, they become common. It was just, oh, it's just Uncle Abe, right? It wasn't significant. When we think of Abraham, right, we think of this magnanimous person who was the friend of God. You think it's possible that Lot lived with Uncle Abraham and didn't recognize Abraham's prayer life or his worship or his integrity and his honesty? You think it's possible that Lot could have lived in that house that whole time growing up and traveling to these new lands and not see the caliber of man that Abraham was? Is it possible? See, to me, I think we overlook the greatness of those closest to us. And it would do us well to... And here's the thing. You know, then we go to a memorial for that loved one, and we hear all these people talking about how great they were. And we miss that sometimes. Don't miss that. Don't miss out. Look at the people who are around you and think about the influence they have on others and the impact and their character and their love and what, you know, their walk with God. Don't miss that. But eventually, Lot and Abraham's investments, their enterprise, their businesses, grew to the point where their workers were having conflicts. And Abraham says to his nephews, Lot, it's important for us to have peace, but in order to have peace, you got to go. How many of you think you could be at peace with some people if they would leave? Right? I'll have perfect peace with them if they just stay away from me. But that's, Abraham says, Lot, we've got to have peace between us. We don't want this to ruin the family, but our people are having conflict in the field. And so I'm going to separate from you. You separate from me. And I'll tell you what, you pick where you want to go. I'll let you have the choice. And Lot looks out over the Jordan Valley. So you have the water that comes down from Dan and then into the Jordan River, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River. And so along that Jordan River Valley, it's lush. Anything we can grow in Florida, they grow there. Just to get an idea of the tropical type of climate and vegetation they have. Dates, palms. Right? We talk about the land of milk and honey. All that stuff that they've got there, it's beautiful. And more so at this time. Lush fields. We think of Israel a lot of times. We think of what we see on the news, and what we see on the news is desert. Well, there's plenty of that over there. I mean, a whole bunch of it. But in the Jordan Valley, in the Jordan Valley, there's grass, lushness, vegetation, fruits, vegetables. And so, mangoes, oranges, whatever you want, it's there. And Lot looks at that and he says, I'm going there. Of course, he chooses the best. But once he goes to the Jordan Valley, the Bible gives us very specifically what went wrong. In chapter 13, I know you're in chapter 19, and that's fine, I'll read it to you. But in chapter 13, in verse number 10, it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Verse 12, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom, verse 13, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The problem was, the conflict was not between Abraham and Lot, but between their people. There was no conflict between Abraham and Lot. And when they separated, Lot just chose the best land. Abraham was fine with it. That's why he said, you pick what you want. Somebody takes you out to eat and says, order whatever you want, and you order steak and lobster, and they get mad. That's their fault. So you're on notice if you take me out. Pastor, you'll have grilled cheese tonight, right? But Abraham said, whatever you want, you'd pick it. And then Lot said, I pick that. And Abraham said, no problem. And so he went. But that land that was so fertile and so generous, if you will, had already attracted a group of people who were wicked and sinful. The Bible says they were exceedingly wicked, sinful. They had no thought of God, no consideration for God. They were wicked. And so Lot began to observe them. He pitched his tent so he could see that way. What does that remind you of? What's that? A stakeout, all right? You know what it reminds me of? A television. And we plop ourselves right there and we're looking at that. And that's what Lot had done. Now, it just depends on what we're watching on television. If we're watching the Seminoles win, that's a good thing, right? And so if we're watching something that's wholesome or something that's building us up, or even if it's something that's mindless, as long as it's not making us worse, then that's okay. But what Lot was looking at was sinful. It was sexual. It was indulging. It was excessive. Things happen in the world that decent people won't even think about and certainly wouldn't talk about and shouldn't watch on the television or the computer, or shouldn't pitch their tent toward it and say, let me keep an eye on that, because what happens is it interests us, then it intrigues us, then it entices us, and then it involves us. You see, and that's what Hollywood and New York have been doing to us for years, for decades, and they've been dumbing us down and wearing our morals down and wearing our resistance down. And if they can get us to laugh at it, they can get us to accept it. And so we laugh at it and we think it's funny, and before you know it, guess what? We don't think it's so bad anymore. And that's what Lot did. He pitched his tent. Eventually, he moves within the walls of the city. You see what happened? He went from being under Abraham's shadow to pitching his tent towards Sodom to being in the city. It's involved him now. He's not just involved, he's invested. Where your money is, there will your heart be also. I know the Bible said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But what we invest in, we pay attention to. Lot ends up within the walls. And then the Lord reaches a point where he'll no longer tolerate the wickedness of Sodom. Chapter 19, verse 12, he reaches a point where he says, we're going to destroy it. The men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Whatever you've got to get out of here. You understand that when something's killing us, the first thing we've got to do is get out of it. I teach the first aid classes and, you know, we talk about heat exhaustion. And I say, what's the first thing you want to do if you're too hot? Well, the first thing to do is get out of the sun. What are you first thing you do if you're too cold? Get out of the cold wind. That's the first thing. You've got to get out of the environment that's destroying you, that's killing you. And so if you're in an environment that's toxic, and maybe it's your job, or maybe it's your home, whatever it is, if you can't fix it, you've got to get out of it. You've got to get away from it. If it's a sin, the stuff that you're doing to yourself, it's an addiction and it's killing you, well, you've got to get out of it. The angels, two angels went and they said, we're going to destroy the city. You need to get all of your people and all of your stuff and you got to get out of here. He goes to his sons-in-law, the Bible says, in verse number 14, which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed to them as one that mocked. They said, you're crazy. How many of you have been called crazy lately? Y'all aren't doing your job very well. Every one of us should have had to raise our hand at that point. Don't you know Jesus died for your sins? That if you'll just pray and confess your sin, ask God's forgiveness, he'll wash away your sins. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to get baptized for it. You can't pay for it. Joining the church won't give it to you. Jesus paid it with his blood, and that's all you need. Is faith in Jesus Christ. And I know people don't like that. It's too easy. Well, let me tell you something. There's no other way. That's the only way. It's through the blood of Jesus. Well, I just think you ought to have to work for it. Well, then get saved and work for it. But get saved first. I mean, if you'll get saved, I got plenty for you to do around here. Well, I just think you ought to get baptized. No, you don't. I believe in baptism. We'll baptize today. But the blood of Jesus washes your sins away. So get that first, and then we'll baptize you. Nothing. Nothing else can save you, just the blood of Jesus. We pray and ask God's forgiveness. They say you seem crazy. You must be drunk. You must be high. You must have lost your mind. Something's wrong with you, Dad. Something's wrong. His daughters couldn't convince their husbands. Dad's right. Dad never would have said this if it wasn't true. Couldn't convince the daughters or their husbands to go. You see, when the angels went there, God had made a deal with Abraham, and he said, if you'll just find 10 people, we'll save the whole place. Lot, Mrs. Lot, two virgin daughters. So all we need is 6 more. Now, it doesn't tell us how many daughters Lot had besides those two or how many of them were married. Of course, those two were not. But I got an idea. It must have been 3 and 3 husbands, and that makes 10. Again, it's subjective. I'm just throwing that out there. God said to Abraham, if I find 10 righteous people, I'll save the whole spot, the whole place. But he didn't find 10. All he's got so far is 4 that are willing to go. Lot, his wife, and two virgin daughters. That's it. They dismissed his warning, and people have dismissed our warning today. By the way, while we're being crazy, let me tell you, Jesus is going to part the clouds, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to leave this earth without dying. That's crazy. That's Bible. I know it's wild. I know it's far-fetched. You know why? Because it's never happened before. But you know when the Hebrew children got to the land, got to the Red Sea, and there was water here, and there was enemies there, and there was an army coming behind them, and they had nowhere to go. Moses lifted up that rod, and the wind blew the Red Sea back, and they walked across on dry ground, and that's the first and last time I know of that's ever happened. And they got to Jordan, and they stepped into the brink of the water, holding the Ark of the Covenant, and the water stayed there too, and they walked across on dry land on Jordan. And when they got hungry, God brought manna falling down out of the sky where they could gather it each day. Just enough for that day, except for the pre-Sabbath, they could gather enough for 2 days. And when that wasn't enough, he sent quail. So much quail, they got sick of eating quail. They said, there's no water here. And Moses walked up, and the water came out of a rock. Guys, if you haven't been called crazy lately, you must not be telling people what's going on. They said, Lot, you're crazy. The angels were in town. Judgment was coming. This was the night. The next day it was going to all be over. They didn't have the next day to decide. They didn't have till next week to get right. Let me tell you, if you're not saved, don't wait till the end of the service. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, call out and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith in Jesus. I ask you to be my Savior, and I surrender my life to you. Well, I'm just going to wait till later. It might happen before we get to the amen. Don't wait. It's time to pray now and be saved. Well, I just don't believe it's true. That's what they said. I just don't. Lot, you know him. He's religious. He comes up with these things sometimes. Don't be left behind. The morning rose, verse 15, the angels hastened Lot, saying, rise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. What was going to destroy the city? Fire and brimstone? I'll tell you what destroyed the city. It was iniquity. You know what's going to destroy America? We might say it's going to be nuclear. We might say it's going to be famine or drought or something like that, or plague. I'm telling you, what's destroying America is iniquity. What's destroying marriages is iniquity. You might say, well, it's drugs or alcohol or adultery or something like that. I'm telling you, it's iniquity that's destroying the home. It's iniquity that's destroying the church. It's iniquity that's destroying our country. Iniquity, sin. In our hearts, in our lives, sin. He said, get out or you're going to be consumed in the iniquity. Verse 16, while he lingered. Lot's looking around the house saying, well, let me see. Is there anything else I need? I'm trying to remember if there's any. Where did I put those papers? I might need those papers. I might need that trinket. I might need that treasure. I might need that piece of furniture. Wonder if there's anything I forgot. Wonder if there's anybody else I need to talk to. Lot, it's time to go. It says that he hastened them. It's time to go. And Lot, you know, he's just kind of lingering. Y'all know anybody likes that? You say, hey, it's time to go. I don't pick on my kids. I just try to share their truth with you. I say, hey, it's time to go. And then I look and I say, you don't even have shoes on. Boy, where are your shoes? Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. You got shoes on? No, I don't have shoes on. You're not ready then. Lot, it's time to go. Okay, well, just give me just one more minute. They grabbed him by the hand. Look, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his... Look, we got to go now. Now. And they drug them. They led them out of the city. And said, don't look back. Hey, let me tell you something. When you get saved, don't look back. When you accept Christ as your Savior, don't look back. When you get baptized and say, I'm going to live for God from now on, don't look back. Don't go back. When they got to that Red Sea and there was, you know, let me just walk you through this a minute. Could just pause. They get to the Red Sea. They've run out in the middle of the night. The Egyptian army is pursuing them. And they get to the Red Sea and they say, Moses, you brought us out here to die. And Moses says, well, guys, I guess we better go back. That's really our only option, right? And so they said, just let's just line up and we'll wait for the army to get here. When they get here, we'll just surrender. And we'll just go back to Egypt. Was that the plan? No, that's not the plan. But do you agree with me that if they had just surrendered, that the army wouldn't have killed them, they would have just taken them back? They were slaves. They could have put them back to work again. Wouldn't have bothered them. They could have gone back to the way it was. Guys, don't go back to the way it was. Don't go back to Egypt. Find salvation in Jesus Christ and tread through the water if that's what you got to do. Swim through the water if that's what you got to do. Endure the challenges and the crisis if you must. But don't go back. Don't look back, the angel said. They said, I tell you what, you need to do. Flee into the mountains because we're going to destroy this whole valley. Every city in this valley is going to be burned up. And Lot says, I really don't want to go to the mountains. Y'all ever try to work it out with God and compromise with God and negotiate with God? God said, don't go in the valley, go in the mountains. Why? Because I'm destroying the valley. I'm destroying everything in the valley. And Lot says, yeah, but there's this little town called Zoar. I mean, there's not many people there. I mean, really, how consequential can this little town be, really? And so if you destroy all the other city, all the other villages in the valley, but you leave this one city, I mean, is it really going to make a difference? Is that what we do with God? God says, I'm going to wash all your sins away. I'm going to free you from all your sin. And we say, well, God, you know, there's this little sin I got. And it doesn't hurt anybody. And so if I just keep that one little sin, I mean, really, how consequential is it? And that's how we end up hurting ourselves. Because we want to keep this little bitty piece of the world, this little bitty piece of the valley of Sodom in our lives. And God was going to take it all away. Think about that. God was going to take it all away. I don't want to stand before God on judgment day and Jesus said, well, Derek, you did fine. Man, I washed all your sins away except this one little bit. Because you know what? If there's one little bit left, you don't get in. I didn't say you sinned again, lost your salvation. I said if Jesus were to say to me, I washed all of it away but one part, then I won't get in. But the good news is he doesn't do that. He washes it all away. And when he washes it all away, we need to say, God, I'm all the way with you. I'm 100% committed, 100% surrendered. I don't want any sin in my life. Take it all out of my life. The angel says, Lot, tell you what, that's what you want? Fine. We won't destroy Zoar. You can go there. He gained a compromise. Negotiated with God. And the angel says to Lot, you've got to go. You've got to go now because we can't destroy the city with you. You've got to go or you're going to be consumed by it. We got to wait till you get there before we do what we've got to do, what we came to do. But don't look back. What happened? They're fleeing to Zoar. And I don't know if she thought she left the pilot light on or what. But Mrs. Lott looked back. Let me assure you of this. Our hope is not back there. We cannot live backward. We have to live forward. Our hope must be ahead. And let me say this while we're on it. We cannot rest on what we did for Jesus yesterday. I hear people talk about the glory days of when I was young and what we used to do. Guys, we can't count. We've got to serve God now. We've got to be busy for God now. There are so many people to be reached. There's much to do. Surrender and don't look back. It's for our good. As much as God has done and will do for us, we have got to cooperate with His plan in order for it to do us any good. Would you stand? God, we love You and we're thankful for Your blessings and favor in our lives. We thank You most of all for Jesus and for Your Spirit and for Your Word and for this church. God, if there's anyone here this morning who's not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray right now You'll grip their hearts and they'll surrender themselves to You. If there's someone who's been holding back and looking back, I pray that You will get our focus forward, that we'll look ahead. There's great things in our lives that we can look back on. But our hope is ahead. So help us to focus on our hope, to focus on You. Lord, do a great work in us. Do a great work in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. If you've got a burden or a need, talk to God. Talk to Him from where you are. Or we can pray together. This is your opportunity. Anything else? We've got baptism. Brother Brian, Sister Crystal, y'all make your way into the hallway, and I'll meet you back there in just a minute. So if you want to move up and get a closer view of the baptistry, that'd be great. Brother John, will you play some music and keep everybody in the right spirit? Be seated.